Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of thee. Amen. Please be seated. This past spring, I watched a news story about two physicians who are single-handedly attempting to bring back sight to the blind across the developing world. While developed countries like our own do not struggle with epidemics of blindness, un- and underdeveloped countries do not have basic levels of health care, leading to higher rates of disabilities and shorter lifespans. Blindness significantly reduces the length of life of those in poverty. These two doctors claim that once someone goes blind in these developing countries, their life expectancy deteriorates to one-third of their fellow countrymen and women. Children born blind have a life expectancy of 5 years. Blindness renders a family member unable to work or to go to school because they must care for their blind family member, affecting both family and community economies. Doctors Rohit and Tabin have developed a low-cost procedure to perform cataract surgery that they are bringing to third-world countries and transforming entire communities as well as individual lives. And they train local doctors how to perform their technique wherever they go. They have restored the eyesight of 150,000 people across 24 countries. I watched the wonder and joy expressed by many of their patients as the bandages were removed and they discovered their sight to be restored. Jesus told parables. Those with spiritual blindness. Jesus performed physical miracles, bringing sight to the blind, in fact, but for many of his listeners, he used parables to lift the cataracts from their eyes and challenge them to see their lives through new lens. Let's see if we can look at today's parable through some new lens, shall we? Because too often the message of this parable gets lost in old arguments of works versus grace, or who should be in and who should be out, and in what order. There just may be something else that Jesus had in mind when he compared the kingdom of heaven to a landowner. It must be harvest time, for the landowner is hiring day laborers. This is the common practice in the ancient world. If you owned no land or had no craft, you were dependent upon being hired to help with planting, tending, and harvesting crops. Now, a financially astute farmer doesn't hire permanent workers or buy slaves, even if he has the money. Because if these laborers get sick or disabled, he still has crops to harvest and would be obligated to expend additional funds to meet his harvesting goals. After the landowner in our parable recruits a handful of workers and reaches agreement to pay them the usual ongoing rate, this landowner does something strange. Perhaps he realized he needed more workers, or maybe the weather looked like rain and he wanted to harvest more of his grapes that particular day. For whatever reason, the landowner keeps going back to the spot in the marketplace where those needing work gather. After hiring his first crew and going back one more time at 9 o'clock, that should have been sufficient, surely, for his harvesting needs, if he was an experienced farmer. But this landowner is beginning to look a little bit silly, going back again at noon and at 3 o'clock for more workers. And then he looks downright dumb to hire folks at 5 o'clock, an hour before the workday is over. But the story gets even stranger, doesn't it? Looking dumb is one thing, but this guy suddenly looks crazy. At the very least, he is not being fair or just in his payments to the various workers. He pays them all the same amount, the local daily wage, whether they work 12 hours or just 1 hour. Our sense of fairness is outraged on behalf of these particular workers, isn't it? After watching the others get paid a day's wage for less than a day's work, the laborers who worked all day are justified in expecting to be paid more, don't you think? The trouble is, and the landowner points this out, they have no reason to be complaining. They were paid the amount they were promised to be paid when they were hired. The landowner is being fair. He's being just by honoring their agreement. Well, if you're like me, you're probably taking off your glasses and cleaning the lenses a bit. Because something doesn't look right about the actions of the landowner or this parable. The lens through which we need to look at this parable is not that of fairness or who gets in first or who gets in last. This is a story about God's economy. My Old Testament professor in seminary used to talk a lot about the law of the edges and the corners. Buried in Leviticus and Deuteronomy is the requirement for harvesters to not reap the edges and the corners of their fields, but to leave those fruits of the harvest for gleaning by the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the immigrants. This enables them to have the dignity of feeding themselves and their families rather than beg in the marketplace or sell themselves as slaves. This is what Naomi instructs Ruth to do after their arrival in Bethlehem, to follow the reapers of Boaz's field and harvest enough barley for her and Naomi to eat for many days. The landowner in our parable rightly defends his actions, saying something along the lines of, "It's my money and I can use it however I want." And he chooses to use it to give dignity to those who, after waiting all day for someone to hire them, still need to feed their families. They wanted to work. They showed up to work. Remember when the landowner questioned the last lot to be hired, why they were just hanging around? Their reply was, "No one has hired us." Some speculate these workers were aged or disabled and could not handle the physical demands of harvesting. But that doesn't jive with their response, does it? They are able and want to work, but no one has hired them. They want to feed their families, but no one has hired them. God, as personified by this landowner, seeks to ensure that all who have enough to eat because will have enough to eat because of his generous and outrageous generosity. So this parable is about God's economy, isn't it? It's not just how God cares for the poor, but how God expects for us to do the same as well. If we drill down further, it really has to do with God's expectation that we are to love our neighbors. It always comes down to that, doesn't it? For if we are capable of doing so, we are to be like this landowner, outrageously generous, to give more than what is fair or required, so that those who have little get enough. Like Drs. Rohit and Tabin, through this parable, Jesus is trying to bring sight to the blind. He is performing surgery on our hearts, carefully cutting away our old way of looking at those around us and our egocentric rules of what is fair. He is skillfully inserting a new lens through which the eyes of our hearts may see more clearly those around us who have little, but may just be able to get what they need as we bring the kingdom of heaven present to them through our outrageous generosity.